Howdy, folks. I'm Savrin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And today, we watched Furries, the documentary.
Yes.
It is a film by Eric Reicher. I probably mangled his last name there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I suppose, a counterpoint in a lot of ways to what Fursonas was last week.
So we didn't expect to be able to review another furry documentary so quickly on the heels of the last one. But the director shared his film with us. So.
And we were like, yeah, sure, we'll take a look at it. Yep. You know, it was only 33 minutes and manages to, spoiler, accomplish about 10 times more in one third of the time than Fursonas ever did.
Yeah, this is basically exactly the kind of furry documentary that I would want to represent the fandom. That if someone had like 30 minutes to spare and wanted to know what the fandom was all about, I'd happily sit them down and make them watch this.
Yeah, this is something that is very mainstream friendly and shows a lot broader view of the fandom as well.
Yeah.
So one of our criticisms of Fursonas, there's going to be a lot of this compare and contrast in this recording, is that they focus super heavily on fursuits. Fursonas very heavily on fursuits, whereas in the opening 5 minutes of this, of Furries, they show a bunch of fursuits, and then they get the two of the furry researcher people.
Yeah.
Pull up their names real quick.
Dr. Kathy Gerbasi and
Dr. Courtney Plant.
Courtney Plant. Those are like some of the first people that you talk to, and they give... Kathy Gerbasi actually gives sort of a breakdown of like the sexuality ratio and the male to female ratio mm-hmm. in the fandom. But in that first 5 minutes, I mean, they talked to like two different furry artists, and they actually, one of the furries that they follow to his first meet is a writer, and actually shows him like typing some stuff up. They don't go in depth into the writing community, but they actually mention it. Yeah. And one of their subjects is a writer.
That was TJ.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
We took a few screen caps during the thing just so we could remember names and stuff.
Yeah.
The two furry researcher people, they're the guys you've been seeing at a lot of cons. They've been at Furry Fiesta. They were at OkaCon. They mm-hmm. obviously Anthrocon.
Yeah.
And they're the guys that you fill out the surveys and they give you a little ribbon. And yeah. They're getting demographic information and feedback from the fandom.
Yep.
And they basically add that little bit extra weight to the credence of the film. They're like, you know... No, most furries don't own a fursuit. It's not the focus of the fandom.
I think they said it was about a third of their subjects actually own a fursuit.
They talk about – they actually explain what a fursona is.
Yeah. They actually define the word fursona. And then they talk to several other subjects about it, and actually they explain like who their fursona is and how they're different from them, what they're trying to sort of represent with their fursonas. You know.
They also talk to, I think they talked to TJ in the film, and he's a gay Catholic. And basically for him, his fursona was a vehicle for him to better understand and accept himself.
Mm-hmm.
And for another person in the film, it was for her an idealized self or what she mm-hmm. wished she could be.
Yeah.
And other people are just like, yeah, it's for me. They did bring up the writing. They brought up the art. They brought mm-hmm. up fursuiting, the fursuit makers. They talked to like a mom who is a furry.
Yeah, there was actually two moms in that car. There's footage from at least two conventions.
Anthrocon 2012.
Anthrocon 2012 and Morphicon probably 2012, because Morphicon is now known as Anthro Ohio.
Okay.
So that just changed in the last couple of years. And it was Anthro Ohio. There was two moms in the panel room that this was at, and one had a son and one had a daughter. And one of the moms, you know... predictable mom behavior. Her son was like, I want to go to this hotel and meet strangers from the internet. And of course she had the typical mom reaction of
no.
But what was cool about her, as opposed to a lot of parents are just like, no way, forget it, and we're not letting you go, she actually opted to go with him. And then she got really into the
she
fandom
said that it
as
was
well.
Her third year coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other mom was like, her daughter really dug the fursuits,
mm-hmm.
and the mom helped her make one, and was like, she's so much more outgoing.
Yeah,
you know, she's a completely different person when she's.
That's what you hear a lot of fursuiters say. Yeah. How like they can kind of come out more and like be more outgoing, and they can play this character that's not themselves, and it's easier to be more social and you know
and
things like
that.
They
also, you know, Luca, they kind of go over with him getting his suit and how it helped him get out and be more personable. And I think it's TJ's boyfriend who is like, you know, he's a furry. It's a part of him, just like being gay is a part of me. It's, you know, I accept him for who he is. So it's like they even have a little bit of relationship angle there.
Yeah. They also compare it to like with the fursuit things are sort of like they said it's like not every sports fan is the guy that wears the paint on his face at the games and stuff like that. So not every furry has a fursuit. And the other thing they did, you know, not to think that this is like just wholly squeaky clean positive, they actually do touch on some of the controversies. They mentioned they go all the way back to the Vanity Fair article back in I think 97 that
yeah
came out,
so they talked
like
about Vanity Fair, they talked about CSI, they talked briefly on ER, which
and,
I didn't recall,
and a little clip from Tyra Banks. So they talked to their subjects about, you know, yeah, this kind of, this is why we don't trust the media,
this is why
this shitty perception that the media has put out there that doesn't really tell the whole story. And they don't deny the sexuality.
Yeah.
They're like, yes, there is sex. Yes, there's adult artwork. And one person, I don't remember who it was, explained it perfectly. Like, yeah, because there's sexuality in human society. It's just like that. And
yeah, very matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't try to make out to be, oh, these weirdos. I mean, obviously, it's a very, very sympathetic pro-fandom doc. I mean, this is no what are they hiding or anything like that.
Yeah. It's also very different from having Varka – I mean, no offense to Varka, but having Varka interviewed with his wall of dildos behind him and showing off his cum lube, which is like, that's great. I'm glad the company exists as a sex-positive show. I'm very – sex-positive about dongs are great, but
I want to fuck the bunny.
A big dragon dong is not how I introduce people to the fandom. And, you know, maybe that wasn't really the point of Fursonas. They were trying to set up some sort of war between Kage and the Everyday Furry or something like that. There was clearly with this documentary, there was a very different
tone.
Very different tone, very different goal. This one feels to me a lot more accessible.
I'd say it's almost a good 101.
Yeah, yeah.
And surprise, surprise, they also filmed at AnthroCon 2012, and they didn't get kicked out because they played by the rules.
They actually interviewed their programming director, KP.
And he brings up a very good reason as to why Kage is so protective of AnthroCon, a particular number.
$4.4 million. That's money that goes to the city of Pittsburgh. That's the economic impact of 4 or 5 days of furries in the city of Pittsburgh.
You know, why is it super important to protect the public perception of the con? That's exactly why.
Yeah.
Because Fernando's, they actually did some filming around the city and around AnthroCon and, you know, showed the various signs, welcome furries.
Yeah.
And, you know, wasn't it Fernando that was like, yeah, a lot of these businesses do almost a month's worth of business this one weekend as long as they stay open for the furries?
Oh, it wasn't even a month. I think he said something like if he had 2 or 3 AnthroCons a year, that's all he would need for like the entire year.
Aside from the fandom being a positive force in most people's lives, it's also a big positive economic impact to a lot of the areas that have these cons.
And also that number's probably only gone up since this was filmed.
Yeah, because this was in 2012.
So last year at AnthroCon, and I probably talked about this on the show at the time that we talked about AnthroCon, they did something different at AC this year. They had the first super parade go outside.
Yeah.
And the mayor of Pittsburgh declared it like an actual parade. And they had 5,000 non-furries, local Pittsburghians, flooded into the city center to watch the fursuit parade. And then they ate all the food and drank all the drinks and ate all the ice cream. The Ben and Jerry's store, they're used to us after we've been there like 10 years. They know how much stock they need to get through your typical AnthroCon. Well, their numbers are kind of thrown off this year because of 5,000 additional people showed up on Saturday for the fursuit parade to the point where Ben and Jerry's ran out of ice cream. Like, that's quite the feat. You make and sell one thing, and you ran out of it. They actually had to call in resources from other local branches.
Yeah.
Our impact is not just like furries out spending money. It's furries bringing in other people that live there to the city center. And they don't just stand there and watch the parade and go home. Then they spend money.
Yeah.
They have dinner with their family in downtown Pittsburgh while they're there.
They go to Tonic and look at all the furries and the fursuiters drinking and eating.
Yeah.
And they go to Fernando's if it's still around. And, you know, and they go to all these places.
They watch the fursuiters doing shots with the super long straws, which they do.
Another thing that this did that Fursona's pretty much completely lacked was just positive interactions with normies, like interacting positively with everybody else. Like,
yeah.
And they talked to a few of the average, you know, average Joe man on the street kind of things.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you know, well, like, there's one dude who's like, I don't know what it is, but I kind of want to learn more.
And there was another person that were like, I guess it's kind of like Trekkies. And I'm like, yes, that's actually not a bad analogy.
Yeah.
You know?
Instead of Vulcaneers, we got fursuits.
Right. Yeah. And there's different – and there's fans of all levels. There's people like me that will show up to a Star Trek con in a T-shirt and jeans, get my picture taken with George Takei or something, and then go about my way. And then there's people that have a Klingon wedding.
Yeah.
You know? But it's all points in between, and it's the same with furries.
And so, to not put too fine a point on it, we think that the Furries documentary is really, really good.
Yeah. We both really enjoyed it. Like, right from the start, I'm just like, okay, this is way more positive. This is exactly what I want. Since people are going to ask, it's at Furry Film on Twitter. And it has a link there to the – it's not in, like – wide distribution right now. It's not on the streaming services yet, but the director, I believe, said he's going to work on that. They're doing a tour of convention of furry conventions where it's being screened. So it was just screened at Biggest Little Fur Con.
It's going to be an Anthrocon.
Next up is Califur and then Anthrocon. So if you're on either coast, then you get to see it because Califur is near LA. Anaheim. It's in Anaheim now. Yeah, they moved. Okay. So Califur is in Anaheim and Anthrocon's in Pittsburgh, of course. So a lot of people will hopefully get to see this film. I suggest you take time out for your convention schedule and go and see the screening at one of those conventions. I'm not sure about the other cons, but I know at BLFC he actually had a table in the dealer's room and was selling it on DVD. So he has physical copies of it yet. It's just not on the streaming sites like iTunes and Google Play yet. But, you know, you can follow Furry Film on Twitter, and hopefully there'll be an update about it. But, yeah, I mean, we really enjoyed it. I'm trying to think of any other points that it raised.
I think it points out that Furry doesn't have a core canon, and it relies on artists to bring
people's
visions to life and various little points like that. You know, I've referred to the fandom, Furry fandom, as a meta fandom, and this kind of hits the same point.
Yeah.
And they really do a good definition. It is an excellent Furry 101 film. This is something that I think the fandom is not going to instantly hate.
Yeah.
And I say that not really in jest, but like, I think that Fursona's is going to be really divisive. It's going to basically be like, do you like Kage? Yes, no. This will really influence your opinion on the film. But for Furries, for this one, you could show it to pretty much anybody.
Yeah. You know what's amusing about this is that it got permission to film at Anthrocon and they interviewed one of the directors. There's no Kage in this at all.
Yeah.
You know, none of his archived footage, he's not even walking around the background or anything like that. So it's like, not that he was excluded on purpose, as far as I know. He's into special thanks.
Yeah.
You know?
He probably was responsible for letting them do it in the first place.
Yeah, along with the AC board of directors is into special thanks. But it focuses on the subjects that they've chosen to interview.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have this hate boner against a particular individual. It's just not a hateful or aggressive or controversial movie at all, really. I think it's very positive, but I also think it's very truthful.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it does acknowledge that there's adult stuff in the fandom. It acknowledges fursuiters, but it also says, not everybody is a fursuiter. Like,
there's a lot more to it.
It's a lot more balanced, I feel. It actually presents all sides of the community. So that's my closing thoughts on that. I'm sure I'll think of something I should have said when we're done. But,
yeah. But it's good stuff. When you get the opportunity, give these guys a follow.
At Furry Film. Yep.
Yeah, give these guys a follow and make a point to see this at some point, because I think it's an excellent representation of the fandom. And we should support positive portrayals like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on that note,
good night
and big balls.